It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Welcome to On the Front Porch. I'm Tamara Wallace, and I'm visiting with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. Trinity is the 2023 National Miss United States Agriculture. She is a senior at Kansas State University, pursuing a bachelor's degree in animal science, along with an equine health certificate. Between her studies and the K-State horse judging team, Trinity has been promoting agriculture at parades, pageants, and events with her title. Welcome to On the Front Porch, Trinity.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Trinity, let's start at the beginning. Tell me about your childhood.
So growing up, I absolutely loved being outdoors. I was definitely an outdoorsy kid. I wanted to be outside in the woods, playing with my brothers, playing in the pond, anything I could be doing. But I really did have a love for animals from a very young age. My first ever pet was a dog, and so that's kind of where my love started with animals, was my first dog. I didn't really get involved with horses until after my dad passed when I was 7 years old, and that's when I started going to my grandparents' rescue ranch in southern Missouri. They have all different kinds of horses, mules, donkeys, anything you could possibly think of. And I started spending the summers down there with them, where I was able to bond with my new horse that I had, my pony, and work with those horses and different ways of rehabilitating them and either rehoming them or, like, I was training my horse to barrel race and kind of learning about horses myself at the time. So it was definitely a learning experience. From that point on, I just worked with horses at my grandparents' farm, and that love for agriculture in the industry just really kind of bloomed and continued to grow, and I found my passion.
Tell us about school up to junior high.
I was always one of those kids. I did love school. My favorite subjects in school were both math and science. That love for agriculture really just continued to grow and grow as I was getting older, and I wanted to be more involved with horses. Even though they were down at my grandparents' house, I wanted to find a way to be more involved, so I started, instead of just going down there for the summers, I started going down there every single possible break that I could and spending as much time with them as I could, whether that be spring break or Christmas break or even just a weekend if I could get down there. I was down there with the horses. And I started barrel racing, like I said, at the age of 7, and that was where my passion, I was like, man, I really love this. I love this industry. I love the rodeo. I love rodeo people. And that just became my new love. And so that kind of really helped me to push my career in pursuing veterinary medicine. I had some amazing teachers that really helped me keep stay on a good path and keep my grades up and things like that all through junior high and everything. And so I was able to kind of find my niche in life, and they helped me kind of stay on that path and keep focused through all of my adversities and everything like that.
Tell us about high school.
High school, so I grew up in a very small town. I went to North Platte High School, which is in Dearborn, Missouri. We were very, very tiny. I think there were 37 in my graduating class. And all throughout high school, I was a member of the National Honor Society, SCA, and I was also on the girls' track team. And I really loved track. Other than horses, my other passion was running, and I was a sprinter all throughout junior high and high school. In my junior and senior year, I started to take dual credit courses through our local colleges that my high school offered to kind of jumpstart my college career. And I, like I said, loved being a part of the track team. I loved having my teammates. My coaches were really amazing, and they really pushed me to be the best person I could be. And throughout my years on the team, I was able to form some really good friendships and create even better memories. My senior year, we competed at state, and I was a part of the relays that broke 3 school records in the 4x1, the 4x2, and the 4x4. And that was the year we also placed 2nd as a team, and that was the first time in my high school's history that our girls' track team had ever placed at state. And so it was really, really special to be a part of that team that made that history, and just all of these amazing girls that we worked so hard all year to accomplish these goals. And on top of track, I had my coaches that were supporting me in my life dreams, making sure I was getting to the right schools, making sure I was taking all of my classes I needed to be taking to jumpstart my college career.
Trinity, tell us about being the county queen.
That was definitely a very interesting thing for me. So I will admit I am not a pageant girl in any way. And so I had a lot to learn about what it meant to represent my title, being active on social media, and like the ins and outs of being a queen. But I did realize from the start that I was presented with a very different opportunity to advocate for agriculture and make different connections that I wasn't able to make just being in the industry. And so I was able to go on farm or industry tours, and I was able to advocate for my passion in a whole different aspect. So I was really excited. It definitely was a learning curve for me, though, to try and figure out what all I needed to do and how to take, you know, the best pictures, how to highlight my sponsors and things like that. So it was an experience, but it was definitely a good one, and I really think I'm appreciative of that experience.
Trinity, you are at Kansas State University. Tell us how college has been.
College has been so amazing here at K-State. It is such an experience, and K-State really has so many opportunities for students from all walks of life to get involved in anything they want to try. You don't have to be from a certain background to be in this club or anything like that. And so I've really enjoyed building all of the different connections that I have with friends and industry professionals here. And I really do feel like I found a family here in this community. I think that everybody is so kind here and so supportive of everything you're doing, from the teachers to your advisors to even just the locals here. And so I think this is such a uplifting community to be in, and it really helps you to pursue a degree. And so far, I've been here for 3 years, and I have loved every year I've had here at K-State, and I am very happy to be continuing my degree in the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine.
Do you have a favorite professor?
I have a few. They are all the horse professors we have here at K-State, and they've definitely had the impact, a very big impact on the classes I've taken and things like that. So my one that I've worked most closely with is Dr. Crabtree. She's the horse judging coach, and she teaches some of the entry-level classes. But there's some other professors that I think have really, they've been some tough classes, but they're very amazing professors. So Dr. Dowsett and Dr. Kuba are also some professors that I've really appreciated having in class, and I've enjoyed them.
Are you involved in any other activities besides the horse judging team?
Yeah. My first year here at K-State, I was a part of the pre-vet club, and I was also a part of the Veterinary Voyagers Club. I did those the first year, and then the past 3 years, I've been a member of the K-State Rodeo Club. I help with their practices, help get them ready for rodeos, help with the big K-State rodeo, and then I also have done the academic quadrathlon that K-State has the past 3 years, and I did do the Little American Royal one time. I did that my freshman year. I competed. I had a little horse that I ran through.
Tell us about the K-State horse judging team experiences.
The judging team was so much fun. It definitely was a lot of work. And like I said, I obviously have a love for horses. And so after talking with the coach the prior semester, I decided that I wanted to try out this kind of part of the horse industry. But I really do feel like all of the experiences we had helped me gain confidence and decision-making and public speaking skills. That'll definitely help me in my future career. And I was able to make some really good friends. All of the girls that were on the team, that I was on the team with, we got very, very close because we were stuck in a van with each other for long, long car rides. And so we got really close with each other and just created some really great bonds. And our first judging competition was definitely interesting. I don't think I was really prepared for what a horse judging competition was. I really had no idea what I was going into. So that was a lot of fun, a lot of learning very quickly on what all it entails and how quick you have to make decisions. And then giving reasons was an experience. It was like super nerve-wracking, like you're going into an interview or something like that, and then you're just done and within 2 minutes. So be all that prep and everything. It was a lot of fun learning, like, new strategies in order to memorize reasons better or take notes better and things. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun on the team.
And can you tell us the different parts of the horse judging contest and explain what reasons are?
Yeah, so in the horse judging contest, at least in the college division, we judge 6 to 8 classes. And so that can be a mix of performance classes and halter classes. And so our first competition, we have a lot of ranch classes. Each class is their own set of rules. Some classes are patterned. And so they'll have their own different penalties. With penalty values, they'll have the different patterns they have to do, different requirements for dress and things like that for every single class. And so going into the competition, we had to be prepared for what classes we were going to see, which they gave us ahead of time the list of classes. And so we had to kind of memorize what the rules were for each class, what the penalties were for each class. And then we were able to have the pattern, so we didn't have to memorize it, but we did have to have a good idea of what we were watching. Because when you're judging horses, if you look down for a minute, you can miss a lot of things happening. So you really had to be kind of on your game and be focused on the class instead of looking down at your notes. We prepared our notebooks that we had. Some people used the score sheets and others didn't. I just personally used my notebook and I made my own little score sheet in there because it was easier for me to write notes. And so you go in, you start the day off, and they run you through however many classes there are. Normally they do the performance classes first because those are the ones you'll be sitting in the stands. And so we run through those classes, we score them, and we put them on a Scantron or cards or whatever they're using for that competition. And we keep that until the end. In some of the competitions, I know in our last one we had to hand in the card for each separate class after the class was over, but this one we were able to keep them for our first. And then after all of the performance classes are over, you go down into the arena and judge the halter classes, normally one mare and one gelding or one mare and one stallion in some form like that. Could be performance mares, could be just halter mares, could be yearlings, could be lots of different things. And so depending on what you're judging will depend on exactly what you look for. So with like the more halter mares, you're going to look for ones that have more muscling because that's really their only job is to be a halter mare. But if they're performance, you want them to be able to be ridden and do well in their performances. So you'll look for a little different structure and things like that. So then we judge them. Once all of the judging is done, we move on to, normally they let us have lunch, have a little break, and then we move on and we start writing our reasons. So they tell us, okay, you'll give reasons on, say, ranch pleasure and performance mares and then probably a few other classes, too. And so then we start writing our reasons. Once you've written your reasons, which is basically an oral presentation of your placing of the class. And so the judge that is listening to your reasons will have your placing. They will also have the official placing, which we do not know until after the entire competition is over. So you'll write your reasons defending your placing, and then you'll go in and give your reasons to the reasons taker. Normally they have a scribe in there also listening. And it's normally 2 minutes or less. You can get point deductions if you're over 2 minutes. Then you defend your placing, and then once that's all over, they tally up your scores. All the scores are out of 50. Yeah, you'll see how you place.
Trinity, have you or do you have any plans to be a horse judge at a horse show?
I would love to do that. I know to become an official judge, you do have to get an AQHA card and take some courses. And so at this time, I don't think I really have enough time to be going through the courses. But down the road, I would like to maybe do some 4-H judging or like my local county shows and things like that. I would enjoy judging those.
I'm Tamara Wallace talking with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her growing up. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we will learn about the National Miss Agriculture Program. Back on the front porch, I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her growing up. Now we are going to learn about the National Miss Agriculture Program. Trinity, you were a county queen, so tell us how you found out about the National Miss Agriculture Program.
So I actually found out about the Miss United States Agriculture Pageant from my local county fair. I competed to be a fair queen, and one of the judges happened to be the national elite Miss United States Agriculture. And she gave us all her buttons and what her platform was before the pageant. So going in, I knew one of them was a queen, and I was like, oh, this is super cool. Had no idea what the pageant was at all. After the pageant was over, she reached out and told me about the opportunity to join the program and kind of what the Miss US Ag Queens do and advocate for. And so after talking with her and kind of reading about the program and looking stuff up, I decided to sign up through their website to become the Platte County representative.
Tell us about the Missouri Miss.
So to become a Missouri Miss, I had to compete at the Midwest Regional Pageant. I competed in interview, state fun fashion, on-stage introduction, evening wear, and on-stage question. This was my first ever true pageant, so it was very nerve-wracking, exciting, and a little stressful. But working after the pageant, I did as many farm and industry tours as I could, because at that point, I was still learning the opportunities I had being a title holder. My mom and I worked to create my state fun fashion costume, which was a dress I advertised the products that Missouri is a top producer of. And I also worked with the Midwest director and other queens to create my onstage intro for Midwest. And then I also got prepared for interview, running through questions and doing mock interviews. And so I competed in those areas, and then I ended up winning the title of Missouri Miss United States Agriculture. And I had so much fun with all of the contestants and all of the retiring queens throughout the day. And I kind of realized that I had found sort of a new family in my sister queens and even in the retiring queens. Everybody is so supportive. It wasn't like what I thought pageants were. It wasn't like, oh, everybody is mean to each other. We're all here to compete. It was more, this is a group of girls that really wants to help each other and really just wants to advocate for agriculture. And so no matter who wins, we're all going to continue to advocate for our passions. And so it was really a great environment to be in and kind of my first step into the pageant world.
Trinity, tell us about your community involvement.
So my community involvement as a county queen, I, like I said, was kind of learning what I had to do. And so I did a lot of farm and industry tours local to Platte County. Growing up in Platte County, I definitely had a lot of friends that had farms or their parents had farms, and so I was able to kind of get in contact with them and be like, hey, I would love to tour your farm or your industry plant and kind of see what you're doing and the background behind it and advertise about it. And so I had a lot of friends that agreed to it or their parents did, and I was able to go visit their farms and then post on social media about what is happening in Platte County, what they are doing for the industry, and kind of who these locals were and how they were impacting our community. And as a Missouri queen, I was able to do that more than just Platte County. So I was able to go all over to Windfall Farms down in South Missouri. I was able to go wherever I could with and meet with professionals or do more farm tours to advocate for that. And I did do some stuff in Kansas too, because like I said, I am going to school here. Did do some stuff here in Kansas, kind of get more involved in my community and kind of a broader spectrum than just Platte County. I was able to do stuff in Clay County and things like that to kind of make my title more known and get more connections to do more community events.
I had seen on your Facebook page, the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you painted pumpkins.
I did. That was a thing that our sister queens did. We all did it together, and it was a social media event. And so they had a group that was specifically dedicated to painting pumpkins. So all of our sister queens from all across the country painted pumpkins in some fashion or bedazzled them or something. And we posted pictures with them on our pages and in that page. And so it was kind of a social media competition on who could get the most likes and the most shares and things, but it was a way for us to show breast cancer awareness during that month.
Tell us about your sponsors for being Missouri Miss.
So my sponsors that I received were Double F Farm for Missouri Miss, and then it was also Hyde Express, which is an excavating company. They are very close friends now, and I absolutely love both of these, this farm and this excavating company. The Double F Farm is a farm, the Double F is for flocks and flowers, so they produce quail, and then they also have mums, and they do own the local pumpkin patch that I went to, which was Pumpkins Etc., and so I was able to tour both their farm in their pumpkin patch and kind of display what they're able to do all year round on their farm, and then all the things they do specifically in fall at their pumpkin patch. And they were one of my sponsors for both the Midwest Regional Pageant and for the National Pageant, and so was Hyde Excavating Company. They were somebody that I had grown up with their son, and I was just good friends with them and really great family. And so I asked them about this opportunity, and they were super excited for me. And so they became one of my sponsors. And they do excavating all through the northern part of Missouri. And so, yeah, then they became one of my sponsors also for nationals.
Trinity, it sounds like you've went to a lot of fun events to promote agriculture. What would you say was your favorite event you went to?
I think my favorite event had to be the American Royal Spring Field Trip, just because I was able to connect with so many kids at that spring field trip. It was 2 days long, and it's the American Royal's opportunity. They do, this year it'll be 3 days, but they do 2 days for kids to come and experience all different kinds of things in agriculture. So lots of vendors and ranches and different things to come and set up booths or tables for kids to come learn about all different kinds of agriculture industry. There was even a farrier there last year that was showing the difference between cold shoeing and hot shoeing and how to make a shoe and everything. So kids are able to kind of experience all of that. And so I loved being able to talk with all of those kids about emotional support animals, their importance, and I brought my tack with me, so I let them sit on my saddles, I let them play with all of my stuff, and I told them what everything was for, explained to them what I used all of it for, and I also was able to make a good friend in the rodeo queen that was there. She also had a booth next to me, and so we kind of tag teamed and switched kids off together and stuff like that, because our tables kind of went together, so we were able to do that. And then afterwards, they allowed the kids to go watch the American Royal Youth Rodeo. That was really cool to be a part of that and watch the young generation of rodeo kids working their way up.
Last December, you went to a couple Christmas parades, and then during the break, you told me about a parade you just went to last weekend. You want to tell us about that?
Over Christmas, one of my favorite parades I got to go to was the Lawrence Old Fashioned Christmas Parade. That is a parade that is all horses or horse-drawn carriages, and it is a massive event no matter what the temperature is. And I will say this year it was quite chilly. But, so it is a bunch of horses, and I was fortunate enough that I reached out to the director, and she gave me the opportunity to connect with a couple from Nebraska that was bringing a carriage down that they use for carriage rides and also just for personal use. And so I was able to ride in their carriage with them through the parade. And it was such an experience because it's all calm and quiet and a little cold. And then you turn down the main street of Lawrence and there are just these massive crowds that are there to see these beautiful horses with their carriages and everything. And so that was such a really cool experience. I also was a part of my hometown's Christmas parade. It's a lighted Christmas parade. So we decorated an old truck in Christmas lights, and I put a little Christmas tree on there with my banners. And I rode through just my little hometown, rode through there in that parade, which was a lot of fun because being in my hometown and kind of getting back to my roots and my reason for starting everything is very fun for me. And so I really enjoyed that parade. We did end up winning a prize for best vehicle. We got, I think, second. But yeah, we had so many lights. They enjoyed our little float we had kind of made. We ended up getting a prize for that. And over this past weekend, I was actually part of the Lawrence St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is another major parade. I think they had about 105 entries this year. And so I had some wonderful friends and family that really helped me put together this float. I had a car that I was able to use, and so we did this massive balloon arch and everything and put balloons all over the place and shamrocks and all that. And I also had a sister queen with me, the 2024 Kansas Future Little Miss. She got to come with me, and so we rode in the parade together. We had so much fun. It was another big event where you turn the corner and there's just people everywhere, everybody screaming, hollering everything at you, that they just love it. And
tell us about the 2024 Midwest Regional Pageant.
It was definitely a lot of fun. Like I said, it was my first ever real pageant. So I did my county fair, but this was really a pageant. So we had to submit photogenic. We had onstage introduction, stay fun fashion, interview, evening wear, onstage question, and then you had optional areas of competition, which were the photogenic and then essay. I did not compete in the essay portion. I did submit a photogenic photo, which is just a headshot or a picture kind of representing who you are, which you submit prior. So going into the competition, we had a lot of prep. I had to get an evening gown, had to get my onstage introduction prepared, which is our area of competition where we get on stage and we have 1 minute to kind of tell the judges who we are and what our platform is, what we're advocating for. So I took a lot of time kind of preparing that and so I could best display myself to the judges. And I worked with a lot of the directors and sister queens and things kind of leading up to it. So we start out the day with interview. I had worked on previous interview questions and things with my mom and with everybody, all of my friends and everything like that. So we have our interview that morning. We go in and it's a panel of three judges. And because this is a agriculture pageant, it's not your typical questions you think you'd get at a pageant. Like everybody gets the one of how are you going to save the world or how are you going to stop world hunger. The thing that is not what we get, even though that can be related to agriculture. We get questions about what is the importance of farm succession and how do you prepare for it? And what is the newest agriculture technology that you think is important or impacting our industry? And how do you think you're going to make an impact in the industry? And so it's all agriculture-based questions that we get through my interview. Once interview was done, I had time to prepare for my onstage intro, which I told you about. Did our intro, and then we go straight into state fun fashion, which is our opportunity to display some sort of agriculture thing, whether it's in our state, in the country, or in our county. We can make an outfit based on something agriculture related. So for state, I made a dress that was based off of all of the products that Missouri produces or is the top producer of. And so it was a white dress, and I had a skirt on it that had corn and then soybeans and beef on it, all split into different sections that I was able to kind of flare out and show the judges on stage. And then we have evening wear, which is where we just go on. That's your kind of typical pageant portion. We go on stage, they read off our MC card, and we walk around and our pretty dresses and stuff. And then after that, we do our onstage question, which is, again, going to be an agriculture-related question of some sort. Like the ones I talked about. And so then you have your allotted time to answer the question. Once you're done answering the question, you walk off stage. And then we have crowning. And so, like I said, this is my first pageant, so I was super, super nervous. Didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know how I even did the whole day because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is so much fun. But I'm just kind of here experiencing all of this. Then we went into crowning. They crowned by state, or we did Iowa and then Kansas, and then Nebraska, and then Missouri. So Missouri was last, and so everybody had kind of already been crowned in the younger divisions, and then they got to the Miss division. They'd crowned all the other queens, and so it was me and then the two other contestants I had. So we were all kind of standing there super nervous, and they do it by division first, or by area of competition. They tell you who the winners are of a certain area of competition, and I ended up being crowned. I was absolutely shocked. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my gosh, I just won a pageant. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. And so it was super exciting. All my family was there cheering for me. And then I'm going to kind of start my journey as a Missouri Miss.
I'm Tamara Wallace talking with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her being the Missouri Miss Agriculture. On that note, we're going to take a short break, but we will be right back. We will learn about her current title, National Miss United States Agriculture. I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her being the Missouri Miss Agriculture. Now we are going to find out about her current title, National Miss United States Agriculture. Trinity, tell us about the Miss United States Agriculture Program.
So the Miss United States Agriculture Program is such a unique opportunity for girls and women to find their passion in the agriculture industry and advocate for that passion in a completely different way. It allows girls who may not have grown up on a farm to visit with farmers, learn about their lifestyle, and advocate for shopping local or whatever their platform might be. And it allows lifelong farm girls who may not want to step off the farm, get off and meet with industry professionals and people who may not have had the chance to in the first place. And I think the biggest thing that the Miss United States Agriculture Program does is it gives us a voice. It allows us to speak about our passions and really advocate for what we believe in and gain confidence in ourselves and in the industry with meeting with professionals and different farmers or whatever our platform is. Kind of finding our way in that platform allows us to just gain confidence that'll really help us in our future careers from itty-bitty ages all the way up to the elite Miss and just older women that are just in the agriculture industry. And so it's definitely a unique opportunity, and it is a family of girls. We are not a bunch of girls who don't like each other or don't want to be around each other. We're all girls who want to help each other. We love the agriculture industry, and no matter what our sister queen is advocating for, we want to be her advocate. We want her to find her way, and if we can do anything to help with our platform or our platforms align in any way, we'll do stuff together or try and find ways for each other to advocate and kind of build our platform.
It sounds like a great program. It sounds like a lot of good reasons to want to be National Miss United States Agriculture. So prior to knowing what you know now about the program, what was your reasoning to want to be the National Miss United States Agriculture?
So when I first joined the program, I just joined it because I thought it would be fun. I thought it was this new experience I could try, and, oh, you know, this will be a good way to kind of step out of my comfort zone. I did not have my eyes totally set on National Miss because I didn't really think it was possible at first. I thought this was like, oh, I'll be a county queen, maybe I'll win the Missouri title and just kind of get to do stuff like that. And so I was very, very fortunate enough to win the Missouri Miss, and I was super excited about that. And once I kind of won the Missouri Miss, I was like, oh, Nationals is kind of, it's in my sight. It's reachable now. And so I wanted to be the National Miss because after seeing what I was capable of accomplishing with a state title, I felt that being a national title holder would open up even more doors for me and give me an opportunity to advocate for women in the Midwest to also have this experience. I thought if I'm the National Miss United States Agriculture, I can bring that title back here to the Midwest, here in Kansas and Missouri, and advocate and get more women involved in this amazing program and advocate for my passions here in my community and bring back the options and the animals that I want to bring to our community and kind of help advocate just for my community. And I thought that being the National Miss would really help me do that.
Trinity, you've told us about the different parts of the contest, like the interviews and the clothing. Do you have like a mentor that has helped you with those things?
I have two very, very important mentors, and both of them are such amazing friends now. One of them, her name is Brandy Cole. She was the one who actually got me started in this pageant. She was the national elite miss that judged in the Platte County Fair for me. And she became such a close friend. She helped me with my MC cards. She helped me get prepped for interviews. And the other person that has really been my other mentor is, her name's Kara Dittar. She was the 2022 National Miss United States Agriculture. After the Missouri, she was the Kansas Miss prior to being the National. So at the Midwest Regional Pageant, I actually kind of stopped her after winning the Missouri. She was about to leave, and I was like, hey, I would really love your help kind of getting ready for this because I have no idea what I'm doing, and I would love to be able to reach out to you and ask you for help. And she wholeheartedly was like, I will help you with whatever you want. I will be by your side. And so her and I became really close friends. She lived for a while with me here in Manhattan, and so I was able to go see her and kind of practice whatever we could, whether it be walking patterns or interview questions and stuff like that. And so I have two very important people in my life now that have become amazing mentors.
So did you have a favorite part of the contest or maybe something that was you consider challenging for you?
I think my favorite part of the contest was actually the interview. I know that interview can definitely be very intimidating for a lot of people because it's your one-on-one, but I think that this is such a key important part of the contest because this is your chance to really talk to the judges one-on-one. You're not going to get to speak with them any other time until after the contest is over like this because all you're going to be doing is talking on stage or walking on stage. And so I think that having interviews first especially is an area for girls to really kind of show who they are before the introduction and show them that you truly are passionate about the agriculture industry and you aren't just here for a title. You are here because you want to advocate for our industry. That is definitely my favorite part. I think for me, the most challenging part is actually the evening wear because that is the most pageant part. learning how to walk in heels and learning how to walk a pattern and make sure I'm smiling and looking at the judges and things. That, I think, was probably the most challenging part for me, other than trying to memorize an onstage introduction and stuff. Yeah, that was the one that I really felt I had no experience in whatsoever. Learning how to really do that correctly was hard, but all of it was fun.
Tell us about the coronation of being titled National Miss United States Agriculture.
The coronation was so nerve-wracking. We had the pageant, it was split into 3 days. So we had our interview on a Thursday, and then Friday was our onstage introduction in State Fun Fashion, and then Saturday was evening wear. We did not have an onstage question for nationals at all, but we had our evening gown portion, and then it was crowning. So that day, we had all been dressed up in our gowns, already done evening wear, and we kind of moved right into crowning. I was so nervous all day. I will admit, I couldn't eat whatsoever. I was panicking. I was like, oh my gosh, this has been crazy. This is, you know, this is the end. There's nothing else I can do, but I was super nervous. They crowned the younger divisions first, and I actually got to watch one of my sister queens from the Midwest get crowned, the Little Miss United States Agriculture. She's also from Missouri, and so that was super awesome to see her get crowned and watch some of the other girls that I had gotten close with get crowned. And then we walked up there as a whole. There were 26 girls in the Miss division. We all walked up on stage, and then they started giving out the medals for the areas of competition. And I ended up winning, I think the first one, interview was the area I won. And so that was the first one they announced. And it was kind of like a, oh, okay, that one's over moment. And then they announced the rest of them. Once they announced all those, they brought up the top five, which were, it was me, and then Texas, Oregon, Oklahoma were the ones that were up there. And so we all just kind of stood there. They announced it from fifth place up. As we had gone up, you know, you just kind of stand there holding your breath. I think all of my family in the crowd was also holding their breath. once we got down to the top two, it was me and then Oklahoma. And so we stood up there, we held each other's hands and just kind of waited for that moment. Mm-hmm. And when they called out her name as being first runner up, I think my heart just kind of dropped because I could not believe that I was the national Miss. I was in total shock, started crying instantly. And it was a really special moment for my friend to be able to crown me the 2022 National Miss. She crowned me, and I gave her the biggest hug, and I just remembered that I could not stop smiling and crying because I couldn't believe what I had just done. And I was so excited to be able to hug my family and talk to them. So it was just this really kind of a surreal moment almost.
Trinity, you've told us about some of your events that you've been doing. Is there any other events that you would like to talk to us about?
Some of the other things I got to do, which I think were really fun, was I got to do the Farm to City Day, which was in Concordia, Missouri. I was able to visit with a bunch of local farmers who had brought their tractors to be a part of the parade. I was there with my national Ms. United States Agriculture, so it was really fun to be able to see all of the tractors from being over 100 years old to brand new. And then I was able to ride in the parade. We were the grand marshal for the parade, so we got to ride first in front of all of the tractors. And so looking back, seeing all of the tractors come was super fun, and talking with all of the farmers and industry professionals was awesome. Then I also got to do the Plattsburgh Saddle Show, which is just a fun little local saddle club that's near me. I go and ride there all the time with my horses, and I go and barrel race there. So that day, they needed a ringmaster, and I was there, and I was like, hey, I would be more than happy to help. And so I helped out with that portion of the classes that needed a ringmaster, and then I jumped on my little pony to ride in the game classes afterward, which was super-duper fun. And then, of course, I had to go back to the Platte County Fair, where kind of this whole thing started, and I was able to help out with so many different events. I was able to be kind of announced in the Queen Contest, and then I got to ride my horse in the slack of the rodeo that night. Then one of my sponsors was actually helping out with the Power Wheels Derby, which is the little kids' derby. So they get to come out in their little electric cars and kind of bump each other. Mm-hmm. So that was super cute to watch and be a part of. I got to hand out, like, the medals and the prizes to the kids for that. And then I got to help out with the 2023 livestock show that Platte County holds. I got to help with the judges, kind of walking, helping them, and I got to hand out banners and prizes for that, too. And so that was a lot of fun also.
Trinity, one final question. Tell us about your goals for National Miss United States Agriculture.
Some of my goals for myself was really to just get myself more involved in the industry. As a National Miss, I thought I need to do my best to get involved here at K-State and also at home and work with therapeutic writing centers and different organizations to kind of advocate for my platform, which is the use of emotional support animals in younger generations. My goal was to just kind of bring light to the issue of kids not being able to process emotions or get through different events in their life. And so I hope to kind of shed light to this and also give kids the opportunity to just get involved with animals, to be around them, to either pet a dog if they don't have a dog at home, or maybe they get to ride a horse for the first time and kind of just see the importance and the impact that these animals have on our lives as a whole. For the program as a whole, I hope to get more girls involved. I hope to be the advocate for here in the Midwest saying, you need to join this. This is an amazing opportunity. And just kind of get more girls from each county to represent at the Midwest and each state to represent, because there are so many different opportunities that this title gives you, and I just don't think enough girls know about it.
I'm Tamara Wallace talking with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her current title, National Miss United States Agriculture. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will learn about her platform advocating for the use of emotional support animals in younger generations and how you can learn about joining this program, the National Miss United States Agriculture. Back on the front porch, I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her current title, National Miss United States Agriculture. Now we are going to find out about her platform advocating for the use of emotional support animals in younger generations. Trinity, first tell us, what are your plans for after graduating from K-State?
I'm happy to say that after graduating from K-State here in May, I will be attending K-State College of Veterinary Medicine School, so I can pursue my DVM to become a veterinarian. I hope to become a mixed practice veterinarian, but I would love to do a little bit of a focus in equine if I can.
Tell us how you got started in barrel racing.
I got started with barrel racing after my dad had passed. I went down to my grandparents' house, like I said. They bought me my first pony. Her name was Lollipop. She was just a rescue. Somebody didn't want her anymore, and she was kind of a pain. So I ended up with her. She was broke to ride, did not know anything other than that, and so I was also learning how to ride at that point. Both of us were learning together. I started riding her. I did trail rides with my grandparents, and of course I loved being on the horses, but I did love to go fast. I knew that. And so I started trying to figure out a way, how can I go fast? What, you know, how can I do this? So my grandparents took me to the local shows that the saddle clubs have. They started taking me. At our first show, I remember signing up. I was like, oh, well, I can sign up for, you know, Western Pleasure and Western Horsemanship and all that, because I knew how to do all of that. That was the easy stuff that my grandma had taught me, because she did show when she was younger, and my aunt and my dad also showed. They did saddle rides and stuff, so they did kind of a different area, but they did the slower classes, the performance classes. Then I did those, and I remember looking at the list, and I was like, what is barrel racing? What is pole bending? Flag race? This says race. What does that mean? And my grandma, she kind of knew, but she didn't know how to teach me. And so I was like, well, I want to sign up for it. So me and my little pony, we decided we were going to do it. And we went out there, didn't know the pattern really whatsoever. Somebody told me I needed to make a right turn and two left. So that's what I did. And I was like, man, this is really fun. And I figured out I just love barrel racing. I love going fast, and I love the idea behind barrel racing. And so from there, I just started riding, and every show I entered in, I did that. Once I ended up getting my newer horse that I had, she did not know how to barrel race either. So I kind of taught her how to do that. And so that was a lot of fun, kind of training her what to do. From that point on, I just kept barrel racing. I still do that to this day. That's my little hobby I still get to do in between school.
In the prior segment, you had talked about your mentors. Do you have a role model that you look up to?
I really have two role models that I look up to. One of them is definitely my grandma. She really, I think, helped shape me to who I am today, along with my mom. My mom was a single mom raising me, other than when I was down at the summer, down at my grandparents during the summer. My grandparents were kind of the ones raising me. My mom taught me my compassion and taught me my love and kind of nurtured me. And my grandma, she was, you know, the tough love kind. She taught me how to be independent. She taught me how to be tough, taught me to have confidence in myself, to go after my dreams. And so I think having both of those two really be my mentors growing up really shaped me into who I am today. And I'm thankful that I had both of those influences in my life.
Trinity, throughout the interview, you've been mentioning your platform, so we're going to get into that. Your platform is advocating for the use of emotional support animals, ESA, in younger generations. Tell us what an emotional support animal is.
Yeah, so platform is advocating for emotional support animals. The biggest thing with my platform is I'm really just trying to get kids involved in the industry with animals. I want kids to be around animals and experience the benefits that being around an animal has. And so an emotional support animal is an animal that helps you if you have some sort of issue, maybe you have depression or something like that. They're kind of able to help you cope with those issues and kind of help you get through rough events or traumatic events. And so that's what I want kids to be able to have, because growing up, I had horses that helped me get through the loss of my dad. They helped me kind of learn to process my emotions, and they were the ones that were there for me. Animals will always listen and always be there for you. And so I truly do believe that horses helped me kind of shape me along with my other influences, but they kind of helped me become who I am. I think having that influence, it helped me learn how to express my emotions a little better and how to control my emotions and not get so frustrated all the time, because with horses, you do have to have patience. And so my platform is just giving that opportunity to younger generations. I want those kids, if they've gone through a traumatic event or a loss, I want them to be able, even if it's just a dog or something, I want them to have that opportunity to bond and learn how to process those emotions better. Kids don't always want to talk to adults in different situations. If they're upset, they don't want to always talk. They might just want a hug. And a dog or a horse or any animal is really what a kid needs in that situation. And so that is my platform, is trying to give that opportunity to the kids.
How can an emotional support animal help someone?
It can help people, like I said, with clinical depression or any PTSD, things like that. It can help people with that, trying to calm them down or get them through when they're having difficult episodes. But it can also, just like I said, help kids. I personally do not have an emotional support animal, but like my animals, they are my emotional support. They're not certified, but they are my trusted little, my best friends is what I call them. And so I think it can just help people of all ages when they're going through a difficult event. Just having an animal around really to kind of keep you calm. Animals are really good at understanding our emotions and understanding how we're feeling and what they need to do to help us with that. And so having an animal around, maybe if you're really, really upset and you're crying, sometimes a dog or a horse will just come up and be with you and kind of help calm those emotions.
Can an emotional support animal go anywhere with the person?
So an emotional support animal cannot go anywhere with a person currently. There are restrictions against that depending on the area. Service dogs are allowed to go anywhere, but emotional support animals, they are certified. They aren't licensed currently, and it also depends on the state you're in. So some businesses, you cannot have an emotional support animal currently, but...
So is there any other differences between a service animal and an emotional support animal, where a service animal, you can take them anywhere?
Service animals are animals that have more of a job. So they're animals that either are able to notify you of something happening within your body or able to detect issues. Maybe you have a severe allergy to something. You can have a service animal that is trained to detect if there's a minuscule amount of that thing you're allergic to in a product so that you can't eat it. And so taking them with you in stores and stuff like that, and people who have diabetes or blood pressure issues, they're able to take those dogs or animals. Most service animals are dogs, but they're able to take them in. That way, if they have a spike in their blood pressure or their blood sugar, the dog can notify them. So they're able to treat their body so they don't have some sort of episode or have something happen to them. So that's the biggest difference. An emotional support animal is an animal that's really just there to help you emotionally.
What is the process involved in getting an emotional support animal?
The process getting involved is you have to go through all of your state's requirements. So the animal has to meet certain requirements based on what state you're in. There, every state has some sort of website that tells you all of the requirements for the dog or whatever the animal might be. And then it also gives you like a certification for that dog. So the dog might have to go through training. You can't just make a puppy that knows no sort of manners, an emotional support animal. It has to be trained in some manner to be able to help you And, yeah, every state has their own requirements, and it's all listed. If you just look up emotional support animal requirements for Kansas or wherever you're at, you're able to kind of see those.
Trinity, the National Miss United States Agriculture Program just sounds like a great program for young girls. So tell us how someone could get involved with it.
Yeah, so there are definitely a lot of ways you can get involved. The biggest one is you can just search up the National Miss United States Agriculture Pageant. If you search that up, it should bring up our website where you can go and kind of learn about all of our queens and learn how to sign up. You can also reach out to any of our queens on Facebook. So our pageant does have a national Facebook page, which is National Miss United States Agriculture. You can just search that up, and it should be a picture of, it's currently a picture of me in my crown and sash on the national page. Or you can search up, my personal page is Trinity Wrightfield, 2023 National Miss United States Agriculture. I have a Facebook, an Instagram, and then on my Facebook, there should be an email where if you are interested or you just want to learn more, you feel free to reach out to me. I will give you as much information as I can and point you in the right direction if you need something specific.
Tamara Wallace here on the front porch talking with Trinity Wrightfield from Ridgely, Missouri. We have learned about her growing up and her titles with the Miss United States Agricultural Program, and she wants to be a veterinarian. She's a senior at Kansas State University, so she's very busy and doing all of her events to promote agriculture. And she has so much heart in helping the younger generation with emotional support animals. So, Trinity, thank you for joining us for On the Front Porch. I've had the most pleasure speaking with you. And thank you to all who have joined our conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for this opportunity to talk with you and about my platform.